Great day, everybody. I'm Sherry McIntosh, and this is a King and Two Queens podcast, where hosts David Carruthers, Karen Penn, and myself talk about how to power up relationships. So let's get into it.
Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to a King and Two Queens podcast, where we power up relationships with relevant solutions. We are a weekly podcast that dives in deep into the world of relationships between men and women. Our goal is to promote healthy relationships through conversation, life coaching, and mentoring. But before we get started tonight, I want to welcome my co-hosts, King David and Queen Sherry. How you doing?
Hey, hey.
Wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited about this episode tonight to conversate on unrealistic expectations and how we deal with it. We got some strange expectations, I think, in some relationships, and perhaps that's why they don't work often. They don't get a good start off the ground because people have unspoken, unrealistic expectations of one another. They collide. Yeah, we're going to, do like we normally do. We're going to go back to
the time tunnel.
Time. I'm going to want to share a song of this man singing. I think he has unrealistic expectations.
Because of copyright infringement, I'm unable to play the song by Bill Withers, Ain't No Sunshine When She's Gone. But we will continue the podcast as we discuss the lyrics.
All right. This guy is crying. He has some high expectations. Girl can't go nowhere. Anytime she goes away, it's just no sunshine. Like, she can't go nowhere. When she goes away, she's always gone too long. What if she went to the corner store? Like, wait. Guys, I think he has some unrealistic expectations. I don't know. What are you guys' take on Bill Withers?
Well, I think, first of all, they don't make songs like that anymore.
No, they don't. Beautiful song.
Yeah, and I think that, that was a man who obviously was crazy about his woman and was really, really in love with her. And it was just kind of like, I wish that would come back, it can if we want it to, but I just think that we're that's what we're missing. We're missing I'm really, really into you. And I don't mean in a unhealthy, obsessive kind of way, but okay. Just in makes me so much better. And this man makes me so much, so much better. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. It has a sweetness about it, I mean, you can be analytical and say, dang, it's no sunshine. Every time she's gone, it's too long. Wow, is it that deep, But how deep is your love, I guess you can look at it that way, too. Queen, what do you have? What's your take on Bill Withers?
Well, I agree that they don't make music like that anymore. I was fighting not to jump in and do a duet.
I can't.
But, I agree with David. That's why other songs like When a Man Loves a Woman came out, It's not like today, like unhealthy, like Bruno Mars and what was that song? Well, anyway, it was a song like, I'll tear out my hat for you, but it's not enough. That type of thing. Grenade. That's
okay.
What it is. Yeah, so we're not talking on those lines. We're talking about the fact that, man pines away, which is rare, actually, because it's usually the woman like, oh, I can't breathe without you, that type of thing. But I think it's healthy. I think he just, was expressing his feelings like, well, dang, I miss you. Mm-hmm. Ultimately is the message. Mm-hmm. Unrealistic. Yeah, I could see where we could say it was unrealistic, because it's like, well, sister does have to go out and go to the store, you know, or, you know, she's got to, you know, go and get away for a few days.
Yeah, he actually, that was released in 1971 by Bill Withers. But what I found interesting is his inspiration for the song. His inspiration came from a 1962 movie that he watched called Wine and Roses. And it's about a couple that get together, and the man is an alcoholic. The woman didn't drink. For his job, had to do a lot of socializing, Jack Lemmon, and it required him to drink, and he just became an alcoholic. It got really, really bad. And so he got help, went to Al-Anon, etc. But she started dipping in the drinking. While he was at work long hours, she started taking drinks to the point where she became a full-blown alcoholic. He sobered up. She never did, to the point where she was just like walking down the street looking for something to drink. They had a kid. She couldn't even take care of her kid. And so he was watching her out the window, just walk down the rainy street. Just gotta go get a drink. But he told her, I will wait for you because I love you so much. I'll wait till you get sober. He raised the daughter. But that was unrealistic. So that was the inspiration for this song. Wonder where she's gone. Anytime she's away, ain't no sunshine when she's gone. So that changed my perspective. Of Bill Withers crying, even though it's an absolutely beautiful song.
Yeah.
But I wanted to look at, where do unrealistic expectations come from sometimes? I know we talked in the past about women having fairy tale ideas about Ken and Barbie and all these other cartoon characters. So I wanted to ask my host, what was your favorite childhood character with regard to love and romance? Could be a cartoon character, etc.
Mine was Pepe Le Pew.
Pepe Le Pew!
Yeah. Okay, but I guess it was the other son. She would always run like so fast away from him.
Yeah.
When I first watched it, I was like, there's no way he's going to catch her, because he would always be... He'd be going so slow. He'd be like, where are you going, my love? You cannot run away from my love. And he would always catch her.
Yes. Pepe Le
Pew. And by the time he would catch her, she would be exhausted, and he would be kissing all over her. And she didn't know what to do. She was just exhausted. But I always loved that, because I was like, that's me. I'm going to wear you down.
He's going to find this girl.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yes. Was he a skunk?
He was a skunk.
Yes, he was a skunk. Yeah. I just remember him going, mmm, 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 mmm.
Yeah.
The queen. Who was your favorite?
I think mine was Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown.
Yeah, he had unrequited love for the little red-headed girl.
Yeah, was it?
I was like, he's going to get her someday. You know, yeah, they just need to write another tattoo where he finally gets to be with her.
Right. Was it Lucy? No, who was it?
No. The little red-haired girl, I think they showed maybe once, and they only showed her from the back so you could see her red hair.
I thought it was Peppermint Patty.
No.
Okay.
Peppermint Patty didn't have red hair. She was like a strawberry blonde.
Okay. Well, okay. I liked him too. One of my favorites was Olive Oil. He was crazy about Popeye.
Yeah, that's true.
Get his muscles on, you know, she knew how to give him his strength and buy him some spinach, you know. Even though Brutus, he was, you know, the villain, he was his rivalry. Popeye won in the end because he was madly in love with Olive Oil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, we have these fantasies, you know, of how things should be when it comes to romance. They start early and they get implanted in our heads through the years, and what we expect of the other person. And so I wanted to show a clip of a wedding and their thoughts during the ceremony.
Sarah and Davis have chosen to write their own vows. So Sarah.
I promise to care for you and love you our entire life. I promise to be your best friend.
Whoa. You can't just be saying best friend, okay? Pete's my best friend.
Hold up. I thought I was his best friend. We've been through a lot together.
Gosh, we have been through so much together. Second grade was really rough for us.
I remember when he fell off the monkey bars.
I mean, he gave me his fruit roll-up.
I mean, I gave him my fruit roll-up. That was like...
I hope he knows that he's my best friend.
Our friendship has survived so much. You think that this is gonna divide us?
I promise to be your most loyal friend.
I'm loyal too! She is confusing me so much right now.
She is my wife. He is my best friend.
Who's the best friend here? Who?
No one else, baby. Just you and me taking on the world.
Hey everyone, we just got to take a quick commercial break right here. So sit tight, we'll be right back.
Hey everyone, this is Karen Penn, and I have an announcement for you. Are your relationships complicated? Are you tired of being alone? Do you need support on refocusing and maximizing your potential? Start a new journey with one of our certified life coaches to help you find balance and learn how to engage in more meaningful relationships. Connect with us at aKingAndTwoQueens@gmail.com. That's spelled a king, the letter N, the number 2, and the word queens at gmail.com.
Question, which would you say unrealistic expectations is about? Selfishness, power struggle, or immaturity?
All of the above. All of the above. Yep. Because one of the things that's really unrealistic is the fact that, you know, you can say the marriage vows forsaking all others. That means a specific thing. That means that you don't go out and date other people. But that does not mean that your spouse can't keep their friends. You know, it's got to be me and you against the world. It's like, well, I have people that I've known way longer than you. So how about, you know, we get together with my friends or we get together with your friends and, you know, have a good time. You know, why does it have to be just us?
Okay. King?
I think that, I agree with Sherry. Definitely all of the above. Our human nature always just tends to think of what we need first. And maturity, definitely, because it's almost impossible to take on the full scope of what relationship or what these things mean. And as the relationship goes out, things get played out, and then it's like, oh shoot. That's the point though, where you're supposed to grow up and say, okay, love is not infatuation. Love is love, and love is a whole lot deeper than I thought. And you know what I'm saying? You begin to realize that you had these expectations that were unrealistic, and that you have to change, and you have to grow, and you have to be like, you know what? I had some things that weren't good, or that just weren't best for both of us. That it was only good for me, and I have to get over that.
Change. People don't like to change when it comes to changing yourself. What you thought was good for you, of course, you don't want to change it. You like it. It's all about, you know, my idea is the best for both of us. So just listen to me, you know. So, okay, we're going to go on. What's one problem with women's expectations of men?
One would be they're too much.
Okay.
So what I mean by that, you know, I said on this show years ago, I was like, I'm your husband, I'm not Jesus.
Okay.
It is.
Or I'm your husband, I'm not your father.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a woman hasn't had a father, she automatically has these expectations that are going to be filled in, and she looks to her husband to fill them. And the reality is that he can't fill them because he's not daddy. And she doesn't realize that there's a void that never got filled. Human nature always wants to fill the void, but we have to make sure and be careful that we're not putting on someone that cannot fill these expectations.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's good. Okay, Queen.
The expectation of, you know, the Prince Charming syndrome, you know, he's coming on the white horse and, you know, come on, baby, I'm taking you away to our new life. And it's like, that only happens in fairy tales. You know, that's not real life. Real life is you're both part of the struggle, if you will. You know, you do it together, which is wonderful, you know, but you can't expect Prince Charming to come and rescue you from where you are so you can live happily ever after. That only happens in Disney movies. That does not happen in real life. You can't expect somebody to be your absolutely everything. I love what David said when he said, you know, I'm not Jesus and I'm not your father. Like, you know, if you have a void like that, you know, then you need to seek counseling before you, you know, get into a serious relationship or get married.
Okay, that brings about another question. What if you're in a relationship, you discover that that's some of your issue? Should a spouse be willing to help you through that if you realize that that's a problem that you have?
Yes, of course. Yeah. That's your wife. That's your husband. That's what you're there for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so here's my thing, right? My thing is like, look, I'm willing to help you. You know, my mentor said something to me when he was alive years ago that I never forget. I was going through a storm. And he said, David, as you always know, you can call me at any time. I'm here for you. We can talk this out. I love you. I'm here. And then he said, but this storm is yours.
Yep.
People don't realize that it's like, look, so I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Okay. Whoever deals with me has to deal with the potential of what that means. But I have the disorder, not you.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. She can pray with me, lay with me, hug me, rub my back. I have it. So I have to deal with it.
Right.
And as long as, and I don't think that people take that into consideration, that it's like, baby, love you, here for you, all that stuff, but this is your problem. That doesn't mean that I'm insensitive. That doesn't mean that I won't stay up all night and cry with you and pray with you and try to give you whatever it is that you need. But this is your problem.
Right. So very true. I like that. Yes, no, that's love.
That's real love.
It doesn't feel like it, though.
It doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel good because we want to feel good.
You're not supporting me.
Yeah, you're not supporting. You're being unsupportive. Okay, that brings me to the next question of the opposite, which is what's one problem with men's expectations of women?
That, men tend to think that women are going to be just like wanted boys, you know, and in some cases that happens, but a lot of times it doesn't. So, you know, let's say, you know, you have a game night and you and the guys are playing pool and maybe they all brought their girlfriends. You know, you can't assume that, you know, your girlfriends or your wives are going to like the exact same things that you do. You know, some people don't like sports. Some people don't like pool. some people don't like the adventurous stuff, like going on hikes and things of that nature. This is the stuff you have to figure out before you get married or before you get all in on that relationship. You got to find out what their likes and dislikes are.
Okay, I think that probably one of them would be the man has to realize that she is not your mother. You know, we grow up with these things, you know, like what we like and what we are accustomed to. We obviously go into relationships thinking that, okay, this is what I want and this is what I like. You know what I mean? So if you had a mother that was caring and loving and she washed your clothes and always cooked your food, you're going to want that. And she may, and the woman may be like, no, that's not me. That's not me. So you want to make sure that you are marrying or you're entering into that you know the person that you're with. You know what I mean? So for instance, if a woman was brought up in an environment where the husband was the fixer upper and he had tools and just all that other stuff, and then she came to me and was like, okay, David is this and he's awesome. And then it was always, something was always broke around the house. I'm not your fixer upper. She's gonna be very, very upset and very, very disappointed. I'm not Bob the Builder. You know what I'm saying? I'll sing you a song. I'll give you a massage. I'll rub your feet, but you better get that hammer out of my face. I'll tell you that. It's just not me. So it's all about making sure that whatever you had, understand what you had, and then understand what you have.
Yes. Well, we're going to take a look at short clip of unrealistic expectations that come from men and women. And one guy speaks, one woman speaks. So want to hear your comments after this.
We're taught to go out, find your Prince Charming. He's going to love you forever and sweep you off your feet and fend, you know, defend you from evil and all these things. But it's like, men aren't like that. They're not. And they come in all sorts of shapes and sizes, and they have their own struggles and trauma that they have to work through. Mm-hmm. And that's made them who they are in front of you today. And that might not be what you've conjured up in your mind. Mm. How do we accept that as women?
Yeah.
We weren't taught how to accept the nuances that come with men. So we place these unrealistic expectations on what a future looks like with a man. And then when we're hit with struggle, or he shuts down because he doesn't want to communicate, or, you know, he has a moment of tears and we're like, what do we do with that? You know, it's like,
these
are perfectly human person.
Yeah.
And women were not taught how to fully cater to that, because we kind of make it about us. It's like, I need him to take care of me and do for me. But it's like, we need to be there to support you guys just as much.
Okay, we did speak about that.
Yeah.
And women need to be taught. I think we mentioned before how a woman needs the rod of correction of her father so that she can learn, because women don't understand men. And they become, you know, they see the fairy tale, they become women, and they expect the fairy tale. And then they get in a relationship, and they're like, I don't know what he wants. I don't know what to do with him. I thought he was supposed to do this. He's not doing it. I don't want to be with him because he's not doing what I want. They're ready to get out because of the unrealistic expectation. So thus we have, you know, relationships that never get off the ground because of these unrealistic expectations. I'd like you to chime in real quick before I throw on the guy clip to hear his point of view. It's very, very interesting what the man has to share. So
it was very, very good. It was very, very honest. It was very realistic. It was very attractive, because I love real. You know what I mean? When you're real with yourself and with whatever you're going through, Then those unrealistic expectations can become realistic, because you work to get them.
You work.
You know what I mean? So The goal is to say, okay, listen, I got these unrealistic expectations, and it's going to happen in every relationship. It's going to happen. Okay, it is what it is. But the key is, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. Are you going to give up like most people or like average people? Or are you going to say, hey, you know what? We have come to an impasse, and we're going to work this thing out.
There you go.
We're going to laugh at this later.
That's true.
I love it. I would say kill the fairy tale ending. Just kill it. It's not real life. You know, I don't care what you saw on Disney. You are not a princess. Your husband or your significant other is not Prince Charming. He's not Eric. He's not, you know, the genie and none of that. None of that. No. Get that out of your mind. Kill it. Deal with the here and now. You know, everybody has their flaws. You know, so learn how to, you know, if there are flaws that are, you know, you can deal with or you can help them to overcome, do that. You know, you have flaws too, you know, so work it out. Work it out.
I think that's go ahead, David.
And sometimes, right, these unrealistic expectations are birthed out of not dealing with their own pain. Like my thing is, okay, you live in Roxbury, I live in Dorchester, and what, you think we're going to just live in a big house? We both live in the hood. What, and you're getting on me for what? Stop it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that we can't live in that big house, but we're going to need a plan, boo-boo. We're going to need a plan.
Yep.
But it ain't going to get here by us arguing and going back and forth. There's a reason why you live in the hood. Stop it. But yet you're talking about you want a high value man. Not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. A high value. Okay, I gotta calm down because
you're my not getting it.
There are so many people that's looking for something that they're not going to get.
I hear that. Because if you want a high-powered man, are you a high-powered woman?
Thank you.
You know, don't try to throw shade at a man because of where he is. You know, you want a house? Okay. You both live in the hood? Okay. How do you make this dream of living elsewhere become a reality? How? Put your heads together, have a game plan, you know, and work your plan. That's how you do it. You don't sit there and be mad because you live in Roxbury and I live in Dorchester. It's like, okay, now can we move on?
Right. And we don't have examples, you know?
No.
You saw examples of mom and dad is struggling and they had a plan. Then they moved somewhere else that was better. That concept's in your mind when you grow up. Mm-hmm. Say, okay, well, that's how mom and dad did it. So I think we can, you know, when I get with someone, that seems to be the plan, the course of the plan is to start somewhere and continue on to grow. But if you don't have that and you're going by the fairy tale of, what do you call it, the housewives or whatever, it looks like they just got it going on. And so you're mad with your man, how come we ain't got it going on? Well, you don't have the money of the housewives. Mm-hmm. That's on TV. And you never saw a plan from your parents or whoever, you know, mom raising you. You didn't see nothing to know that there's a process.
Yep.
There's a process for getting more. Let's just quickly look at the guy. I really was touched by what he said. And I think you will be too.
I think that for guys, it would be a couple things. Sometimes I think certain guys can have a certain level of entitlement to exclusivity when it comes to women that they're dealing with. A certain entitlement sometimes to attention or a response from a woman. So like for instance, like if you're walking outside and you know the class of like, you know, hey, what's up? And then yeah. she doesn't respond. Now the dude's like mad. And it's like, well, forget
you. I don't like you anyway.
You ugly anyway. Like, right? Like I think there's kind of this unhealthy idea entitlement to like a response. And like I said, again, exclusivity with the woman or I'm doing all these nice things for her. So she is now mine or she should like me or be giving me attention because I'm doing these things that I think we have. And, you know, when it doesn't quite go our way, it's like, this is how villains are born. now the guy is extremely upset with women not realizing that he did the right thing with the wrong person. And sometimes that can happen. Now, what that doesn't mean...
We're talking now.
Man. And what that doesn't mean now is, okay, now I need to switch everything up. No, man, you just got to have a better selection process. Like, you didn't try to draft the wrong person. You drafted the wrong person onto your team.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you get rid of the whole team. Right?
Like,
you know, and that's what I see happening to a lot of guys. And you know, Hafiz, sometimes you could feel like when you're watching, it's like this underline, you could tell something happened, like they're really upset.
Yeah.
They really butthurt.
And sometimes like, I see it with women, like, man, who hurt you?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
there's a vengeance there that you hear even when speaking in the, with the subject.
Yeah,
it's like,
you,
put the spear down. Like, yeah. I don't want to hurt. I don't want to hurt you, you know?
Yeah.
Hilarious. He said, put the spear down. We have unrealistic expectations because of things that have happened in the past that affect us presently. I like how he put that. You have a bad experience or several, and man, you're ready to throw the team out. Like, all women are messed up. Like, wait. I like how he talked about the entitlement, too. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we're dating, and, you know, you're considered mine. But there's just this entitlement. Like, wait a minute. We're not married yet, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, I have some wiggle room still, you know, if you will. I thought it was very funny about him saying, you say hello, hey, what's happening? The girl ignores. He said, well, you ugly anyway. I don't care. He mad. He mad. Because she brushed him off. You ugly. That'll make you know it.
Hey, this is Karen Penn with the King and Two Queens podcast, and I want to take a moment to let you know about a special offer. A King and Two Queens is offering exclusive benefits to our loyal listeners. Check out the unique benefits of becoming a part of the King and Two Queens family. Visit us at patreon.com/exclusive offers. That's Patreon spelled patreon.com/exclusive offers, and take advantage of some really unique benefits when you become a patron. Thanks for listening, and so long for now.
But chime in on this guy.
I think that everything that he said was spot on. You know, guys will get an attitude if a woman just walks by after he said this nice greeting. You know, there's a number of reasons why that could have happened. Either one, she's not trying to hear it at all because she's been hurt. Two, she may have her headphones in and didn't hear him. Or three, she's on a phone call and she can't respond, you know?
That's a nice way to look at it too, but can she just say hello back? Does she have to?
Yeah, because she comes off as uppity if she can't just simply say hello.
Hello.
You know, he's not asking for a number off the jump. You know, he's not trying to ask for a date. He just said hello. Get over yourself.
Right. But he doesn't have to go to the flip mode either. You was ugly anyway. Get up, you know, I don't have time for you. Like, you have to get so mad, you know?
Yeah.
He wanted to say hi because he thought she was pretty at first, but when she didn't, you know, he didn't get his entitlement of hello, even though you can say hello, my goodness.
Yeah.
So King, chime in.
So he that was a powerful clip. I love what he said in terms of, you know, don't throw the whole team away. But I disagree with the beginning part in terms of the entitlement thing. And here's why. Yesterday it was, if you do A through D, it was, you do A through D, honey, you're mine, I'm yours, I got you, and it's gonna be beautiful. Today, it's, I want you to do A through Z, because I'm pretty. And it's like, no. Today, it's, today, things are complicated for no reason. Mm-hmm. They're complicated for no reason. And there's a lot of, there's too many games today. So this issue of unrealistic expectations, now it becomes a.
So, okay, final comments. What are your thoughts on how to deal with unrealistic expectations?
State your business at the door.
Okay.
I like that.
Short and sweet.
Okay. State your business at the door. What? Be honest about what it is. All I'm saying is that people get hurt when you don't state your business at the door.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, when we play around with emotions and motives and this and that, and when things are cloudy, that's because there are lies there. That's why they're cloudy, because they're lies. Mm. State your business at the door.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Like that. Okay, Queen.
I like what David said. That's almost like flip the script and say, how can I help you? Mm. You know, because if you say that, yes, it's ambiguous, but at the same time, it forces you to state your truth.
My take on how to deal with unrealistic expectations, A, do a self-assessment and find out the origin of your expectations. Where are you getting this from?
That's good.
Take a look at yourself. Take an assessment. Is this good? Did I just expect to do the same thing that I grew up on and put that on some a whole new relationship with somebody? Take an assessment. And B, shift your focus and discover your partner's unspoken needs. There's a lot of unspoken needs that we're not even perceiving. We don't try. We're insensitive to. So that will help your relationship where there won't be unrealistic expectations. So I want to thank everybody for joining us. I want to thank King David and Queen Sherry for being on this podcast together. And we invite our listeners to join our private Facebook page under Continuing the Conversation, where we welcome you to continue the conversation on any of our episodes. You can post comments, questions, concerns. Also, we'd like you to visit our website at the letter N, the number 2, queens.com and join our mailing list. We promise not to bombard you. But we want to let you know firsthand some upcoming workshops or special discounts on any of our product that's on our website. So check it out. So we're going to say so long for now. We're going to say peace.
Nothing without a woman or a girl. You see, man made the cars to take us over the road.